Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone today is the mayor of the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. Don, I know we're a day later than usual this week having you on, but we still appreciate you coming on. And how's the week been so far for you?
Been good. We went through a solid meeting, and I'm glad the numbers are coming down with our COVID cases, which means a lot of, we're heading in the right direction. We're heading in a positive direction.
For sure. And I think that's a good starting point. And COVID-19, and we've been doing really well. A few weeks ago, I think in the region, there was around 280 active cases. As of right now, we are under 50. And that was the threshold for the municipal mask bylaw, which is officially set to be relaxed as we are under that 50 threshold. I just want to, maybe if you can just help clarify this, because there might be some confusion out there. The mask bylaw here is being relaxed. However, the provincial health order is still in place.
Yeah, so the rules remain in effect, not because of the municipality, but because of the province. So that's the premier, that's the MLAs, that's the Minister of Health, that group. I know a lot of people sometimes get it mixed up, but they're the ones responsible for the rule that is that prevails over the municipal rule. So the mask law is going to continue, not because of the municipality, but because of the province. It just carries on, so nothing changes effectively. There's slight differences between the two rules, but for all intents and purposes, the mask bylaw is going to carry on, and people should continue to wear them until the province directs us otherwise. Mm-hmm.
I know that you guys previously, a few weeks ago, were talking about whether they should keep the bylaw in place because of the provincial health order. And again, you mentioned there were a couple of differences in specific initiatives, and officers, bylaw officers, RCMP officers kind of had, you know, the discretion of which one to follow. And I know that, I guess, bylaw officers, peace officers, they were able to enforce the local bylaw, more than the provincial one. Correct me if I'm wrong there, Mayor Scott.
It's correct that some bylaw officers have the ability to enforce provincial orders. You know, the focus for our bylaw officers has really been education. That's been the focus. We have tried to remind people, and that was a real focus of the municipal bylaw. Even though the municipal bylaw is being relaxed, remember the provincial law is still in effect, but we're still going to focus on education as much as possible. That approach hasn't changed unless we see a big change in the number of people that are complying, and people have been very compliant. I realize not everybody likes the rules. It's not always enjoyable to follow these rules, but the numbers have come down, and you know, I'm just grateful that the numbers are coming down. I want to keep people safe. I want to keep our healthcare workers safe, and I'm certainly grateful for all those efforts that have obviously resulted in lower numbers.
Mm-hmm. Now, just switching topics really quickly and talking about these health measures and how they've been helping reduce our numbers. And we still have a lot of people who really want to see, you know, the economy start to reopen, businesses be allowed to have more people in, easing of restrictions. And we've been told by Dr. Dina Henshaw that the earliest this could possibly happen is March the 1st. Your thoughts on that? Is that a little too far away? Are you concerned that that might not happen and we might have to wait a little bit longer?
I mean, the residents I've spoken to, who I believe are correct, have said that they want our economy to come roaring back. And I'm a big believer in that. I mean, I've talked to resident after resident who wishes that fitness centers were open again, gyms, and it's certainly something that I personally enjoy. But we need business to get back on its feet. And one of the ways that we're going to do that is by easing restrictions. I believe in a regional approach, which is something that our Chamber of Commerce has believed in and advocated for, which means that if people are below a certain number in a region, then that region should be permitted to open up. Now, that's not been supported by the province. They have a provincial approach, and it seems like that's going to continue, and that's the direction they've taken. But I certainly believe that if your numbers are down, then you should be treated differently. And we are below 450 hospitalizations, so that's the key benchmark. And it looks like we're headed in the right direction. I'm just happy to see things get back to opening up. And as I said, I really believe that we need to see business roaring back. And I think it's going to be the key to a successful economy and certainly the success of this region going forward, which we all want. Mm-hmm.
So we've heard from Dr. Dina Henshaw, about concerns about a regional approach that individuals in other communities that are under stricter measures may travel to these less impacted areas. Do you think that maybe we're kind of an outlier in that, where we're so isolated from most of the province, where that shouldn't be a problem? I don't think many people would expect a lot of people from Edmonton to travel up here to experience some of the restaurants and go to a gym.
Yeah, I think the concerns here are fairly unique, and they always are. I mean, when you consider our size, we're the size of Nova Scotia. So it's a place that not everybody will travel to. Now, we do have that unique aspect of camps, but not a lot of camp people are traveling into our community, as I understand it right now. And I understand that the efforts of the sites have been very strong. The notes I received from Suncor and Syncrude indicate to me that they're really tackling this issue in a strong way. So we all have an interest in making sure the numbers are low. So I'm feeling confident about the direction. Mm-hmm. And I certainly think that, a unique treatment of our region is appropriate. And we've advocated that not only on this issue, but so many others. We are a unique region. So let's take that into account. Now, the provincial government hasn't done that yet, but they may at some point.
When we're talking about a regional approach too, are we talking about a regional approach through the province's plans of, slowly easing restrictions? Or do you think that, I think it's safe to say that the region is doing quite well right now in regards to COVID. Do you think that maybe we should be able to jump the gun a little bit and be able to open up a little bit faster than other places? Just, I guess, maybe skip step two and go to step three.
I'm a big fan of moving forward as quickly as possible. I want it done safely, but I do want to see things opened up as quickly as possible. I think they've got the 3-week gaps between each step.
Yes.
But we need to get things back to normal as soon as we can. And I think a big part of that is going to be the vaccinations. And at last night's council meeting, we heard that one of the communities in our region is well on its way to being vaccinated, and that's mm-hmm. Fort Chipewyan. We had an update from the counselor is there. So, I'm feeling optimistic that hopefully everybody who wants a vaccination will get one, and that we're going to really, I so desperately want this region to get back to the state where we can support the rest of Canada like we've done for so many years. And I think I'm hoping the province and the federal government will do all they can to make sure that happens.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to continue our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And before the break, we were talking about COVID-19 numbers, how they've been dropping in the region. Our regional mask bylaw is set to be relaxed. However, the provincial health order is still in effect. So if you're going into indoor spaces, make sure you wear a mask. There are certain exemptions, and you can find all that information on the Mix News page. Mayor Scott, before we went to our first break, you mentioned some, I guess, some exciting news that was announced earlier this week from Councillor Bruce Ingalls up in Fort Chipewyan, that the first round of vaccines have been handed out to everyone in the community who wanted to get the shot. You know, that's some exciting news that, you know, Fort Chip is close to being fully, I guess, vaccinated from this virus.
Yeah, they're well on their way, and Councillor Ingalls was really proud of that fact. We had Councillor Voyager also there from Fort Chipewyan, but Councillor Ingalls spoke to it at length and said that they had made great strides in their community, and it was widely available to all the residents who chose to get it. And it seems like there was a greater pickup on it than they anticipated, so they are very proud of their numbers. They are well on their way, and he had a lot to say and a lot of people to thank, but especially the elders who apparently led the way in making sure that this vaccine, the vaccine that was available, got used and taken up. So that's good news for Fort Chipewyan. He sensed a different, there was a different vibration up there since the vaccine has been widely distributed, and he was feeling very optimistic. That was certainly the sense that I would, that's the word that I would use. There was a real sense of optimism.
Mm-hmm. And I know that Councillor Ingalls had mentioned that the second wave of vaccines is expected to start in early March. I know there might be a few people in Fort McMurray and other rural areas who might be a little confused as to why Fort Chipewyan was given these vaccines. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor Scott. I know that there was a lot of worry that if the virus were to get into Fort Chipewyan and spread, just because of how isolated it is, it could have damaging effects, like much what happened back with the Spanish flu. Is that correct?
Yes. What Councillor Ingalls mentioned specifically is, well, I believe it was a federal program is what he identified by Northern and Indigenous Affairs, partly involved in that. But it's an isolated community. I understand that there were two isolated communities in Alberta that had this program that was initiated, and it seems like it was, by all accounts from Councillor Ingalls, a big success. So, you know, that's great news for Fort Chipewyan.
Now, there was a little bit of frustration from yourself and from the municipality yesterday, more specifically because this information was gathered by Councillor Ingalls, and you guys continue to, I guess, fight with Alberta Health Services to get information on vaccines in the region. Is there any update on that?
No, we asked our administrative team if they could give us an update on vaccines, and they had none. And the reason for that is the province. So that's now, when I say the word the province, I just want everybody to understand who I'm talking about. That's the premier, that's the minister of health, that's the MLAs. The provincial government is not giving us information. Alberta Health Services is a part of the provincial government. They are just not getting us the information. So when we learn about things, we often learn from residents. And it's more by luck. The province certainly isn't going out of their way to keep this region informed. I mean, my disappointment with Alberta Health Services and the province is pretty widely known these days. They, in my view, it's just been one failure after another.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we take our last break, sticking with Fort Chipewyan, and council approved sending a letter to the federal government requesting that they take care of the community's wharf up there, also known as the Big Dock, I believe, where they get a lot of their products and a lot of business goes through that access point to the community. Maybe you can clear it up. Whose responsibility is that wharf? Is it the federal government or is it the municipalities?
Yes, the federal government. What they're trying to do is download it on everybody else. So the federal government has come to both the organizations up in Fort Chipewyan, and they've come to us saying, how about you take this over? And the problem is they've left it in a state of disrepair, and now they're trying to unload it in everybody else. So, you know, it's another failure of government. This time it's the federal government. And there's a lot of concerns we obviously have with the federal government. That's the prime minister and his group. Now, they are not supporting this region and certainly not supporting the big dog. The community of Fort Chipewyan is united, and RMWB stands by ACFN, MCFN, and the Métis in that region, and it should be managed by the federal government. It's very clear they have responsibility, and they should continue to maintain their responsibility. It's an important point for receiving goods up there, and it needs to be maintained by the government that has responsibility and has always had responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm. Is there any concern that, you know, if the wharf, you know, continues to, what's the right word, you know, diminish and, you know, it sounds like it needs maintenance really quickly, that the municipality is going to have to step in to make sure that that access point, you know, doesn't get damaged in any way?
That's what other levels of government seem to be doing to this region. They leave things in disrepair, or they don't step in until somebody else does. I mean, we're seeing that with emergency services. They put us in a situation where we have to step in. Now, there are some things that we're not going to be able to do. That is a multi-million dollar repair, and the federal government is going to need to do it. We're not going to be able to step in every time. Every time another level of government fails this community, we just can't step in and take on their responsibility. You know, I just want to mention that we get the governments we order. And when people vote, it's very important that they think about all these things. If people are unhappy, then think about that when you go vote in the future.
Well, we're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to finish our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And before the break, we are talking about Fort Chipewyan residents getting the first wave of the COVID-19 vaccine. We are talking about the community's wharf as well. And Mayor Scott, we just have a couple minutes left. And at Tuesday's council meeting, you brought a couple motions in regards to Draper. Let's start off with one in regards to, I guess, water delivery service. And I know that Draper is among like the rural water sewer servicing project, and that they're hoping to get piped water very soon in there. But for the meantime, there's going to be subsidized truck water delivery for residents in that area. Is this something that's been going on for years, or is this like a common practice, or a new practice that's been happening right now just for Draper residents?
Yeah, it's been going on for years, and the motion last night was really to affirm our commitment that we provide this service to Draper. And, you know, we had a resident in Draper who had done a lot of community engagement and wanted to present his case to council, and he certainly convinced me. I want to support the residents of Draper, and he certainly had convinced me, and when we had discussions, so I brought the motion to really support that resident's efforts. And he spoke last night, and he did a great job talking about the service and how important it is to the region. Unfortunately, because of the geography of Draper, there has been various challenges in putting in pipes in that area, and that came up last night. So, you know, every region is very unique in Wood Buffalo, and we want to make sure that the Draper region is recognized for its unique needs.
And I know that the second motion is engaging with ATCO Gas to make sure that there are permanent gas lines in place for these households. So I'm curious, when I was reading this motion, so what are they doing right now to make sure that they have gas for their properties?
Yeah, there's a lot of properties that do not have ATCO gas services right now, and that's really the issue. It's a considerable cost. the alternative. So we want to make sure that ATCO is taking whatever steps they can. Now, ATCO is obviously a private business. We can't direct them. But we want to make sure that if there's things the municipality can do, if there's advocacy the municipality can do to support the residents of Draper. And this was, once again, a resident concern that was brought forward to me. It was the same individual who brought the prior motion. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion over the years with ATCO, but it just hasn't proceeded. And what we heard and what I heard from the resident is that ATCO needs a certain number of properties to hook up. And there's, you know, there was a lot of engagement by this resident, once again, with his fellow neighbors in Draper. And what I am convinced of is that we need to do whatever we can do to help. And that was my commitment. And the motion passed last night, as did the previous one. And I think that just affirms this council's commitment to the people of Draper and the efforts we're prepared to move forward on.
All right. Well, unfortunately, Mayor Scott, that's all the time we have on today's show, but we always appreciate it when you spare a couple minutes every 2 weeks or so to come on.
Happy to be on, and please stay safe, everybody.
That's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.